gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 34 for the new comic book day, December 14th, 2016. I'm your host, Ken Rose, and sitting along with me is my co-host and my friend here in the basement of Hall of Justice, Vernon.
Hello, super friends.
So, Vern, I'm tired. How are you doing?
I think I'm getting a bug, but I'm going to go and pull through it.
I'm still trying to get rid of mine from last week.
You think you're just giving me yours? That's why yours is leaving. Now I'm getting one?
Yeah, I hope not. Then, as you can hear, my voice, Oddmall wrecked me again.
It does that, like, every time. You have so much fun.
Well, we got to surprise Andy pretty good, though.
What'd you do?
We have the formation of the new Oddmall band. And the biggest surprise out of all of it, I guess, was when I walked out on stage carrying my bass.
He wasn't ready.
No one knew I played bass. So
you're a multi-talented man.
That's right. We had a good time, though. But we actually had a little bit of news and stuff could go on in the world of DC Comics.
Yeah, a couple stories were out there.
Yep. Well, this week we got actually a little bit of TV news. We finally have some actual Powerless news to talk about, and we actually know when it's coming out.
I was wondering if they forgot about that for a second. I was waiting for something.
They actually changed. Looks like they've changed the show. Then we got that's not the only thing that's changing. We got the Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow finales that happened last week. So we got to talk about those some, but it looks like Justice League 2 is actually being moved back a little bit also.
Sadly, that's the second DC movie for next year that got pushed back along with Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So, and then Newsarama actually sat down with James Tynion the fourth to talk a little bit of Detective Comics. So we got a little bit of the highlights of that interview. And then we got our Rebirth reviews for last week and 2 weeks ago. Or no, it was 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago because we didn't hit them last week.
Right.
And then we're going to wrap it all up with our pull list.
These comics are coming so fast.
13 books on the pull list this week. So
good week to be a comic book fan.
Oh, yeah. So we'll start off here with the first article about Powerless. Now, everybody knows NBC's got this show Powerless coming out. Initially, it was supposed to be about an insurance agency that actually goes through and does claims on damage done by superheroes.
Right.
But it looks like they've done some major retooling to get ready for the new show. It said they did release a release date, February 2nd, 2017, on NBC. So we got, what, 2 months? Less than two months until we finally see this. But the new synopsis is a little bit different. It says, in a world where humanity must cope with the collateral damage of superheroes and supervillains, Emily Locke, which is played by Vanessa Hudgens, begins her first day as Director of Research and Development for Wayne Security, a subsidiary of Wayne Enterprises that specializes in products that make defenseless bystanders feel a little safer. Full of confidence and big ideas, Emily quickly learns that her expectations far exceed those of her boss, Alan Tudyk, and office mates. So it will be up to her to lead the team toward their full potential and the realization that you don't need superpowers to be a hero. So it looks like after they made the initial pilot, which actually got some reviews and stuff earlier this year, they went back and reshot the pilot. They have to change it. That now they're not an insurance company. They're actually working for Wayne Security.
Yeah,
they got that tie to Batman now.
I mean, they need the money from him because he's one of the wealthiest guys in DCU. So,
well, yeah,
I can see why that might have been another reason why. I was hoping I could have seen the pilot somehow online, but never did, so I don't have an opinion on it.
Yeah, we never got a chance to see the pilot. Eventually, hopefully, we'll get on those types of lists and get versions of this stuff so we can do some reviewing on it, too.
Right. So, that'd be nice. But it seems like she's going to be the lead character for the show.
Yeah. So
I think we might see we won't see Batman. I highly doubt that, but think we might see Bruce Wayne anytime during the show?
If we do, it'll be a couple things down the road, because I don't know if Fox will let him do it, because Fox right now is doing Gotham. They probably have the rights to be able to use Batman on TV.
Right. We definitely could use Bruce Wayne. We at least get like a phone call from him.
Maybe. Depends on how the contracts are written. But this one looks like it's going to be fun. I mean, it's looked fun from the beginning just because it's another show in the DC Universe and it's a half-hour sitcom, so.
Right. And you're going to have some laughs. We need some sitcom also in the DCU. Maybe we can get that negative thought of everybody thinking DCU is so dark.
Yeah. Like I said before, I never saw it as all that dark, but I guess a lot of other people do.
It wasn't intentionally dark, but you know, since the Batman Begins movies, that kind of changed everybody's perception.
Yeah. So, but next we get into, actually, what'd you think of Flash's mid-season finale?
Oh, I loved it. That was my favorite one out of all three shows of last week. I think it was probably because it had the most Christmas feel to it, and everybody had a good time, and there was no cliffhangers. It was just a great ending to it.
Yeah. I love the fact that we got to see three speedsters in it. I was kind of hoping that after this, you know, some point the second half of the season, we're going to get Jesse Quick over here, too, and we're going to see all four.
Yeah, like I said, I thought I saw a picture of them saying all four of them was going to be in this episode, but I guess that was a fan edit.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to happen soon. When Wally said, I'm joining too, I was like, yes, please, give him a suit, let him run out there with them, and we'll have all three speedsters on one show.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. But at least he got his costume.
Yeah, he got his costume at the end. And it's interesting, they actually, Barry took very little time to actually reveal his own identity to Julian.
I wasn't surprised as much as Flash took off his mask during this whole series. It made sense for him to do so because he was not going to get anywhere with him if he kept that mask on. He didn't trust Flash.
Yeah, it seems like they really don't like secret identities on these shows.
And I was telling my mom that. She was like, why are they always doing that now? And I was telling her, well, for years in comic books, they never revealed themselves to nobody. And after a while, it was kind of like, as a reader, you probably should tell somebody that who you are. It probably will help you in the long run. So I don't think it's a bad thing that they're telling more people because at first they didn't tell anybody.
Well, there's a precedent for this in Flash a little bit too, because from the 90s for like 15, 20 years, everybody in the world knew who Wally West was. He didn't have a secret identity. Wally West was the Flash. Everybody knew it.
But he still kept the mask on. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, when I started reading, everybody already knew Wally's identity.
I was not aware of that. Huh. Like I said, though, I was a Barry Allen fan.
Yeah.
More than
well, that's one of the
Wally.
Things that,
I watched Wally in Teen Titans.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that separated the major difference between Wally and Barry was the fact that Wally, everybody knew his identity, and he had the whited out eyes instead of Barry
right.
had a big thing that people needed to be able to see your eyes. We could find out something really interesting, though. Savitar looks like he's not actually a person.
No. I do see him, I guess, as a god now. He's more of a...
Almost like just a spirit or something.
Yeah, he's like just an entity coming out from the rock.
It's
and
weird.
As Cisco said, there's rocks like it doesn't exist even. It's weird their scanners didn't even pick up on anything.
Yeah.
Not even that saying, hey, this is a physical rock. It's just like it's not here.
Yeah, the Philosopher's Stone, which Harry Potter's fans from America know as the Sorcerer's Stone. It's the same thing.
Right. And I... And the guy presenting that, I'm like, oh, yeah. I think I told my mom about that. She was like, who is that? I was like, don't you remember Harry Potter?
Draco Malfoy.
And then I told my stepdad that, and he was like, oh, yeah, that is him. Gotten a little older.
Yeah.
But I was right. I think I said this last week or 2 weeks ago. He probably has a split personality. That's probably why he doesn't really know what's going on. That's why Savitar talked to him, but they had the same voice. Then he opened the drawer. I guess he kind of does have a split personality, but it's...
Yeah.
Seems like more, as he says, a vessel for Savitar.
I think it's more of a possession thing than a split personality.
Yeah.
He's being possessed by the spirit of Savitar. Like they were saying, it looks like Savitar needs a host.
Right, he's being used and tried to do that to Cisco, too.
Exactly. And that kind of explains, with him being a spirit, possibly, explains why he actually is in knows about Flashpoint and stuff like that. He works on multiple planes of existence and universes.
And he also knew who Jay Garrick was before they introduced each other.
And Jay knew who he was.
Right. And Jay's had a longer time than Barry has, so he's more in tune with the Speed Force.
Oh, yeah.
Barry wasn't even aware that they could have thrown something like that away in the Speed Force, so Jay brought it up.
Well, I'm just hoping Savitar at some point brings back Captain Julio Mendez.
Do you think he might?
I hope so. I loved him in the original Flash series. I liked him in the one episode we got him this time, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again, hopefully at some point.
I don't know. I'm going to say that's a far-fetched one because I think he probably just stepped in. Now, question. Who's the new sergeant at the Central City Police Department? Did you notice that from Heroes?
Yeah, Greg Grunberg. Not just Heroes.
Yeah,
he was in Star Trek, Star Wars, Heroes. He's
yeah.
just a little bit everywhere. Anywhere you can get into in a geek franchise, he's there.
Yeah, he is. I was just confused. I was like, wait a minute, so we've had three different captains now, so who?
Yeah. Well, he was a sergeant or something. He wasn't a captain.
Oh, okay. I thought he was captain.
Okay. No, no, no. We still got Captain Singh.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay. I was a little confused. So I know Barry went back in time and screwed up some stuff, so I didn't know if that was effect from it.
Yeah. And then you see another cool one is Caitlin giving everybody snow for Christmas.
Yeah, that was perfect. I was wondering if she was going to get a streak or anything, because I didn't think she could use her powers at all without turning just slightly to Killer Frost. So it was good to see her. It was good to see her using a good way and, you know, not become an evil villain. Maybe that means there's hope. And I think the writers, as they said, they're going to call her Caitlin Frost instead of Killer Frost. They're going to mix, like they said, two both of the personalities together. That might have been them showing, hey, she can still use her powers and still use it for good.
That's right. Well, that's because at this point, no one wants to see Caitlyn really go bad.
Yeah, I'd like to see that little glimpse, and we saw enough of that a couple episodes ago for the Killer Frost episode, but I don't want her to become full evil. And from what they're doing with her in the books, too, with Suicide Squad and Justice League, she's going to be an anti-hero. She's not going to be a full-on villain, so that's really good to bump her up with the popularity of the fans.
Yeah, well, that's because in the books, for some reason, all the villains are, or not all the villains, but a lot of the team-ups and stuff are using villains as anti-heroes. It's almost like because of the popularity of Suicide Squad, they're trying to see which villains they can do it with.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're going on par. I think they can do it for almost anybody. Almost. I did not like the New 52 when they made Reverse Flash in the Suicide Squad. It just didn't fit to me. But the way he died and they're sacrificing his life, it helped.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see him no more, and I think that was a good thing, because I don't want to see Killer Frost. I don't want to see Reverse Flash as a good guy. That just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
What that leave Barry?
Well, we can move on to Arrow. We had its mid-season finale this week also.
Oh, now that was a cliffhanger. Oh, my goodness. My jaw dropped. we'll get to that a little bit later on.
We got to figure out who Prometheus is, kinda. I was kinda hoping it was going to... Just because of the way it's built, I thought it would be someone we actually knew from before. And that doesn't mean we're still not going to know who it was already. But it looks like it's the son of one of the people Ollie killed in the first season.
Yeah, I figured they were going to go that route, but in my heart, I was hoping they would bring back Merlin's son. But that didn't
Tommy?
Happen. Yeah.
That would have been out of left field if Tommy was Prometheus.
Yeah, I was really hoping for that, but from the way they're going about, as you said, this somebody he... I don't even remember the character, but it was someone from the first season that he killed.
And it was cool that they actually did do a flashback to the first season, and actually it was a character they had used in an episode of the first season.
And I know Steven was really happy about that, because he said his favorite costume that fit right and was just perfect was the season one costume. So I'm pretty sure he was happy about that and wearing it again.
So it was cool to see that all happen. What else happened that episode?
A whole bunch of things happened.
Oh, yeah. We got to see Artemis Diggle. Show her true colors.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen from the Young Justice show. I'm like, Artemis is a good hero, but also, don't trust her.
Yeah.
She has a dark path to her. She reminded me of Terra from Teen Titans doing the same thing in Young Justice. So when it happened in here, I was like, oh, seeing that coming.
Well, you got to remember, when she was first introduced last season, it was also as a vigilante, but as a killer.
Right.
She was doing basically what Ollie was doing first season, and what Vigilante's doing now.
And that's what she was so upset to find out, that he did the same thing she was, but he was so upset to find out she was doing the same thing, tried to stop her. She was like, you're kind of being a hypocrite. And I think that's what made her join Prometheus, but I don't know when in the timeline she actually was on his side. I don't know if this was at the beginning of the first season, after she found out. They haven't said yet. I feel bad for Diggle, too.
Yeah.
What happened to him and his family? They drew him out. And I don't think Ollie needs to get too close with his new girlfriend.
Yeah. Anything he gives her, she's going to go end up putting it right in the paper anyway, or in the news anyway.
Right.
But the thing with Diggle, and I actually saw, if you go to the CW app, they actually have they had a fan watch party. So they did a short thing with that. And they also have an extended teaser look at what's coming as you come back to the next season. But they had... David Ramsey, who plays Diggle, and Echo, I don't remember his last name, but the guy, one who plays Curtis, the two of them were on there talking a little bit, and they said Diggle is going back to jail, but he won't be there for the whole season.
Okay, good.
And they said the stuff with Mr. Terrific is going to be interesting with what's happening with him and his husband.
Right, I was going to touch on that too.
Yeah, straight up, as his husband said, it's like, I can't be with you while you're doing this, but I can't make you stop this, because he can tell how happy Curtis is doing it.
Right, and I can't
get in the way of
his
happiness.
And I can't blame him for leaving. If you love somebody that much, you don't want to see them getting hurt and killed. That's one reason why superheroes can't keep a relationship.
Yeah, a lot of them have a problem with it because of that.
That was on tip of my tongue. There's something else that happened in the episode. Just thought of it and lost it. As we keep talking, I'll remember it. Felicity's boyfriend, duh. That was a big death. That was a very sad death. I felt like tearing up a little bit after seeing Ollie and hugging Diggle. It was like, oh, yeah, you screwed up.
Yeah. Well, he screwed up there. The good thing is, once again, these Berlanti Arrowverse shows are kicking out or getting rid of all the CW tropes, because this happens, and then Felicity looks at him, takes a couple seconds, and realizes, you know what? This isn't on you. This was Prometheus.
Yeah.
Prometheus did this, not you. You may have pulled the bow, but Prometheus put him in the costume.
Yeah, I was saying, if I got to go, because with Cisco, I understood what was going on with his brother, and, you know, it was Barry's fault, but like Caitlin said, he didn't put a gun to your brother's head and shot him. It was just the after effect of what happened, and he wasn't the only one affected by this. Everybody else forgave Barry except for Cisco, so I was just like, if I see another death happen because a hero did it, and the their friend gets mad at them for about 5 episodes, I'm like, I just can't take that. So I was glad she forgave him, exactly. But now she wants to hunt down Prometheus, the real culprit for his death.
Oh, yeah. So that's going to be interesting how that plays out also. And then what else? That's all that we had going on for Arrow for this one, wasn't
it? Except for the biggest one that I was waiting to save till last.
Okay.
Black Canary's back.
Yes, the very end of the episode.
So...
Well, or so we think.
Well, yeah, I'm like, is this a vision? Is this not Black Canary? Is this just Dinah coming back? Or is this another world? Different universe? Flash? I don't know what's going on at all.
Yeah, is this a result of Flashpoint? Or is it... I have no idea what's going on with it. Well, we knew she was coming back. Katie Cassidy said she had... And they confirmed a long time ago that she had a multi-episode contract for the season. Same thing with...
Which I thought was just going to be flashbacks.
Well, I believe it's also a multi-show contract, very similar to Wentworth Miller and John Barrowman.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that, and I was figuring we're probably going to see her on our Earth 2, Earth 19, something like that on Legends. So I wasn't surprised about... I wouldn't have been surprised if they would show her on another show, but the fact she came back on Arrow is what got me. I say if I see her on Arrow, it's going to only be in a vision or... past scene from his memories, but this looks like something that's currently happening right now, unless he's losing his mind.
Yeah.
But it's nice that I was so happy to see her back. I'm like, maybe there's hope for a Black Canary, Green Arrow dating something, because they're destined to be together. That's like Iris and Barry not being together.
Yeah.
So I was very happy about that.
There's certain relationships in comics that have to be that way. That's exactly why in the New 52, the whole thing with Superman, Wonder Woman did not work, and it didn't work for anybody. There are very few people I know of that actually thought that was a good idea.
There was a couple people on YouTube that I listened to for their Nerdist variant comics. Some of them, big names, liked the idea. I mean, the idea wasn't bad to me. It's happened in different universes, but it was the way it got caused. Like, what was that? Injustice story. Lois Lane died. Then he went to start dating Wonder Woman. It was like, well, that makes sense. But if Wonder Woman's on, or if Lois is on this earth, living, healthy, you should be with her. There's no reason for you to not be with Lois Lane.
Exactly. Like I said, some relationships are always there. You have Superman, or Clark Kent and Wonder Woman. Clark Kent and Lois Lane. You get Barry and Iris.
Wonder Woman. Right, Wonder Woman and Steve.
Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor. You got
Batman and Catwoman.
Well, kind of. Batman's got his relationship thing is so crazy because he's so weird.
And that's what fits so well. I know he had a baby by Talia, but
Talia, he's got Vicky Vale. He's got a bunch of stuff in his past.
But him and Catwoman are the ones. They're the kind of relationship where they never need to be together, but they always need to have a thing going. If they do not have a thing going somewhere, that just doesn't work to me. But I was glad to see
their relationship
come back.
Batman and Catwoman is always better as a flirting relationship, where they never quite get together.
Right, but like I said, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a little spark there.
Yeah,
there's
that
no
tease
spark
has to be there.
Yeah, if there's no spark, it's like, why the heck would you put Catwoman and Batman on the same page and not have anything happen? But I was also saying the reason I think they might have brought her back, as we said, what's going on in the DC Rebirth, it seemed like it's translating from the show, or the show's translating to the books, and the Black Canary and Arrow relationship in the comic books are selling really well. They had a romance book a couple issues ago. I don't know if that was issue 8 or 7. I can't remember. That, like I said, I went to the comic shop and sold out, and I was like, oh, geez, this must be a great book. So stuff like that shows fans want to see them back together somewhere. If they're not even dating, at least put them on the same screen together. And we got a good taste of that for the Invaders or Dominators episode. So if this can keep going on back and forth somewhat, I'll be happy. I'll be tuning in every week. This is one of my favorite seasons of Arrow so far.
Yeah, it's been some good stuff so far.
Yeah.
And then we got the one – this one actually I think – did take over my favorite over Flash almost, was the Legends of Tomorrow midseason finale. This one was
I can see why.
That was in it. I finally got a chance last night to see it. And Al Capone. And
I gotta look this guy up because he was one of the, I think he was the best incarnation of Al Capone I ever seen on TV.
Yeah, because it was a young Al Capone almost. It was the way they played him. He wasn't like the old mob boss.
Yeah, because I mean, we've seen that already, and we've seen that with like every mob boss on TV. So give me something new, and they definitely gave me something new by giving me a younger guy.
And they gave us, even though they weren't all four together, we did get to see all four members of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, we did, with Captain Cold coming back in. What's wrong with Mick?
I don't know if he's seeing things or what's going on with it. I think it's an hallucination almost, but I didn't think Mick was that crazy.
Who's doing this? Who's causing this? His hallucinations can't be this vivid.
Yeah.
If he had this most vivid hallucinations, we would have seen some in Flash in the first season of Legends. Now we're just getting it. Just something doesn't feel right. Somebody's doing this to him. Something's weird going on. Or maybe too much time traveling. I don't know. They'll explain it when they come back on TV.
Exactly.
But I was really really nice to see Miller come back as Snart. I was so happy. And he's trying to, I think, warn Mick. If you keep going down this path, you're going to do the same thing I wind up doing. And it was just death.
Yeah, you're going to end up sacrificing yourself, you big dummy.
Yeah, and it's like, I became a hero in the process, but I'd rather be here for you guys still.
Yeah, so and were you surprised? I mean, I knew he was coming at some point, but I didn't know about this episode. Were you surprised when Merlin showed up?
The fact that I knew he was coming, I wasn't really surprised. I was just like, oh, okay, so he popped up in this episode. Now, the fact that we got Merlin and Captain Cold on the same show did surprise me. I didn't think they were going to put both of them in there like that.
Well, see,
but I'm glad they did for the season mid-season finale.
When he walked up with the hat down and not showing his face, I thought it was going to be Captain Cold.
I did too, because I knew he was going to be in this episode, so I said, hey, Captain Cold. Oh, Merlin. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how him and White Canary had their little battle, and she has really become a great captain. The fact that her sister's killer was on the show a couple episodes he revealed himself, and now the one of the League of Assassins, the new Ra's al Ghul for a short time, came on there and she didn't kill him either. Like, oh boy, you don't have a murderous bone in your body no more, because I definitely would have killed Merlin. That would have made an exception for him.
Oh, she still has murderous bones in her body, but she's got self-control also.
Very good. Like I said, Merlin would have been one I'm like, you know what? Forget everything else, I'm taking you out.
Yeah.
But what else happened? Oh, Mick has a big crush on Vixen.
Oh, yeah.
That's confirmed now. I knew there was some type of chemistry going on there, but I'm like, eh, he just likes it. It's going to show a little something. No,
yeah, but is that really going both ways with that?
That I think she has a thing for Citizen Steel. That's the problem. And I think this may be where we'll see where Mick's true alliance lies. Will he help the Legion of Doom? Because Captain Cold's going to be on there somewhere.
Yeah.
Or is he going to stay on the team because of her? I really think she's going to be the one true thing that holds him together with this team. And then Snart's going to be the main thing that holds him together with staying on there, too. So we'll see where Mick's alliances lies. Because in the first season, he wasn't on just the Legends team. He also got... Did he get brainwashed a little bit?
Yeah. Well, remember, they left him behind. So he got picked up by the Time Masters, and they turned him into Kronos.
Right,
the
Bounty Hunter. Did they have to do too much convincing is what I'm trying to remember.
They had to do some, but you got to think, that was over years and years and years.
True.
We just missed him for like one or two episodes.
Two episodes, right.
But they had him for years.
Right, and they
one of the things of a time travel show.
Also, Where was I? I just looked up some. I'm on IBDM.
IMDb.
I always mess that up. He is Steel. He's not Citizen Steel. They're just calling him Steel. I didn't know if they're Steel, we're just going to say Citizen Steel, but we call him that. But I think they need to change that. Like I said, I think Henry might get a little upset.
Yeah. Well, that and we did see the bromance getting a little bit more serious.
Between Steel and Palmer.
Palmer, Steel having the bromance going.
They were a little upset with each other for a little bit, but you know they're going to be best friends.
That's because they're bros.
Exactly.
Everybody knows with your bros, you get angry, you throw down, knock down, throw down, fight, bloody each other up, and then you hug it out and move on.
Just like what happened with them, they had that hug at them, like, oh, there you go, guys.
That's the way it is.
And it also, we got to finally see, I love that they're not keeping secrets with each other. Sign told Sarah, hey, I have a daughter.
And initially, like, Sarah wanted to do the same thing he did, hey, we got to fix that.
Right, but out of all the time, I'm trying to think. See, a time ran, but I'm trying to think of the word to use.
Aberration.
All the times they screwed up.
An aberration.
This isn't a bad one. She doesn't seem like she's done too much damage to the timeline. Yeah, you're right. As far as we know, the only thing I'm concerned about, and we haven't seen yet, we never got this answer. When he said, hey, where's my wife or where's your mother? She was like, silly, she's not here. I'm still trying to figure out, is she dead or was she just not in the house?
Mm-hmm. If I remember right, didn't they mention that on the show too?
What, if she's dead or not?
No, they mentioned that on the show this week also, if I remember right, saying how he doesn't know what happened to her. He's trying to remember what happened to his wife.
Right. So, I don't know. Is she dead? Because I feel like if she did die, he's probably going to be really upset with himself. And he may try to go back in the past to stop him from doing that. But then again, he has to also think, your wife is dead, but your daughter's here. Now, if you do go back in time, you may not have nobody.
Exactly.
So he needs to really think about that. But we'll see how that goes on. That's a little thought. But the biggest thing in this whole show, was there anything else you had to add? I want to save this till the end.
Well, we found out from Barry, if he does try to go back and reset it to the way it's supposed to be, you can never reset it to exactly the way it was.
Right.
We found that out with Barry Allen. That's how he got Flashpoint. And then when he came back, it still wasn't right. But that's what I had. What else did you have?
The cliffhanger, because they had a big cliffhanger at the end of their show, too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, we finally found out where Rip is, kind of,
yeah. He's got his American accent going. Sounds very weird with it.
Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of, oh, man, he passed away. I can't remember his name. Hans Gruber from Die Hard. I cannot think that guy's name. Snake. Oh, jeez, what was his name?
Is it Philip? Just a minute.
Okay,
oh, Snape. Oh, yeah, Snape.
Right.
That was... Alan, it was Alan something. Hang on.
Yeah,
I have to be the rescue.
It's killing me right now, and I should know it because I love him in every role. But I guess that's why I love him in every role. I was like,
Oh, come on.
As we Google on the spot,
as the Google foo is going strong.
Alan Rickman. There we go. Had it at the same time. He reminded me of him doing his American accent in Die Hard. I was like, you know what? This just doesn't work for you. It just doesn't sound right. Give me back your accent. I need your accent. But, so he looks like he's a director in Hollywood. They said, what year was it? Did they mention that?
Somewhere in the 60s. I think it was like 1964.
Okay, I thought it might have been the 70s. Either or. I don't know if he completely forgot that he's supposed to be leader of this team, or he might have just said, you know what, I'm tired of saving the day all the time. I want to do something I really have a passion for, and that's directing.
Well, tell me that scene that they were filming there didn't look like something out of Legends. Because
the
guy running looked like him in the trench coat and everything. The one following behind looked like a 60s version of the Adam suit.
Right. I think that's what he was going for. I think he's trying to make a story of the Legends team. As I said, I don't know if this is him forgetting who he really is. And it's like, hey, I feel like I have this really weird dream. Sounds like a good movie. Let me be a director and make this movie. Or he's like, screw it. I don't want to be a hero right now. They got it. I've done this for too long. I didn't get my family back. I might as well do a dream that I always wanted to direct. So he could have jumped back into time to do so where they couldn't find him.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. But that was the other biggest cliffhanger that happened this week, along with the Arrow.
Oh, yeah. So all three of them basically ended on cliffhangers, though.
By the way, I do have to go back to Flash. It's something that was really crucial. Both of us forgot. What do you think Barry's going to do? Is he going to go back in time again and try to stop Iris from dying, or is he just going to let it go?
Well, you can't go back in time to stop her from dying. He's got to do it because she dies in the future.
Right, but by the time that happens, I'm wondering if he's going to go back in time and stop that. Because
I don't know.
Because this is my theory. As Jay told him, whatever you saw is not set in stone. Now, from all the time-traveling shows I've seen, whenever somebody sees their future, they try to stop what they saw in the future instead of saying, hey, I saw something, I'm not going to hark on it, because if I do, I'll probably make that thing happen.
That's the problem. Everything they do to try to stop it, every time they do to try to stop it, it actually causes it to happen.
Causes it, right. So when you see a vision or you've seen something that's going to happen, don't hark on it, and it won't happen. I'm pretty sure it'll just fly by as Jay told him, but I don't think Barry's going to listen. And so far, this is what's that's confusing me, because everything that they've lived up to this point has came from the comic books, the whole Flashpoint thing. Yeah. I mean, even before that, the first season was based still on Flashpoint. But after Flashpoint happened, we got Rebirth, and Barry has not went back in time yet. So on the show, I'm wondering, since he hasn't done the books, he may not go back, or they might come up with something new and have him still do so.
Yeah, you never know. This is something that's probably going to happen at the end of the... That'll be the season finale, because it's the end of Savitar, so...
Right. By the way, who's your favorite speedster villain so far, since we've had three of them now?
I don't know, because we've not seen where they're going with Savitar.
Oh, speaking of Savitar, let me Google this really quick. I think this is the same actor I heard from earlier this week.
Well, while you're looking that up, what did you think of the return of the Trickster as the Earth 3 Trickster?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was funny, because everybody's making a big deal that Mark Hamill's coming back as the Trickster. Come back, and you get, like, a three-minute section of him getting caught, and that's it.
Oh, yeah, that... I want to see more. I want to see him through at least, like, a good 15 minutes of the episode would have been great, because he looked like Joker in this. I know it's Trickster from Earth 3, but it was like Joker and Trickster combined in one entity, and I loved it. I needed more of that. I still want more of that. But I don't know if he's coming back for another show.
Oh, he'll be back at some point. He loves that character, and he loves superheroes in general. He's a geek just like we are.
He is, but I mean, is he going to come back for this season?
I don't know.
That's what I want. I want to see this Trickster from Earth 3 for like a whole episode. That's like that's my childhood coming true.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The 90s Flash, and that's the 90s Joker from the animated series in one. But let me... I was trying to see. He's voiced...
See, I thought the voice sounded like Michael Dorn almost, but it wasn't.
It is, but I was trying to figure out the actor that's playing this. Savitar. Hold on one second. Let me do this. Because I think this was an actor from... our rival comic book. Sorry, it's taking a minute. I'm just really curious, because this is the case. I wonder if Bryan Singer has anything to do with this.
I don't know. Who are you thinking of?
The guy that played Colossus, since I'm not finding it at the point, I'll just tell you guys.
I
think the guy that's playing Savitar, that was his human form, is the guy that played Colossus in the X-Men films. Not the Deadpool Colossus.
Played his human form?
Remember, his back was turned, and you saw him... with the stone, and it seemed like he sacrificed himself so he could be this god of speed.
Okay.
That was like in the first 10 minutes of the episode, I want to say. He said he's being portrayed by the same guy that did Colossus. Let's see, Daniel.
I'm looking it up right now. Let's see, scrolling down. It doesn't say here. Oh, wait, I need to go to the actual episode that we're on.
Right.
Not just the full cast list.
That may not be...
Where's the episode guides? Right there, episode guides. For season 3, Invasion, the present, barring problems from the... Oh, January 17th. Nope, the present is what this is called. Oh, that's cool.
So.
The picture they show is the one of Trickster tied up against the post.
Both of us. See, I told you, you're giving it to me.
Same time.
But Savitar, no, I guess
was
I was
Andre Trikotex. He was a stunt guy in Deadpool. He's in Warcraft. He was in...
Maybe that's why I heard something about that Colossus Deadpool. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Okay,
he's the guy that's actually playing... he's the one that's actually playing Savitar in all the scenes that they need an actual person there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stunt guy.
Okay, stunt guy, okay.
Let me see if anybody else is listed as Savitar. I don't see anybody else.
I don't either. I do see that they were making comparisons to him and Megatron.
Here we go. Tobin Bell is the voice of Savitar and...
Right. That's Saw.
Oh, is that the guy who did Saw? Okay.
Or Jigsaw, I guess. But, yeah. I like how they're giving these villains of Flash horror, iconic horror voice roles to do so. We got Candyman for Zoom, and now we're getting Jigsaw for Savitar. I'm like, next season, whoever they have to now get a horror character to voice them. They have to. They keep this going. I like it.
We'll bring in,
Freddy Krueger?
I keep thinking Wes Craven, but that's not, I'm drawing a blank. Let's move on.
I was going to tell you the guy's name if you want it.
Go ahead.
Jackie Harley?
Robert Englund.
Yeah.
You think of Jackie Earl Haley was the new Freddy Krueger.
Right. Now, I was just looking up the names, and that was the first one that popped up. I was like, wait a minute, that's not the same guy.
No. I actually met Jackie Earl Haley. I was working on a movie he was directing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome. Did you get an autograph? Did you get a picture?
No, I didn't actually talk to him much. I just said hi, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, man, that sounds
great. A low profile. I was doing stunts.
You do. You can't nerd out too much, but knowing me, I would have freaked out.
I was kind of working at that point. But
I would be Cisco when it comes to something like that. Like, it's you.
Yeah. So we actually got that's the mid-season finales for those ones. Gotham had theirs, didn't they?
I completely forgot about Gotham this week.
We're going to have to look up Gotham because I saw it, but I don't remember what it was right off the top of my head. I had too much stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, after a couple episodes, what is it? I think after the episode with Riddler and Penguin, Riddler's being just a little bit of an airhead to the whole fact, I didn't catch the next episode after that. I'm going to have to see what happens. I'm kind of curious.
Riddler knows what's going on now, and it's interesting where they're going with this.
Don't tell me.
You got to get caught up, and then we'll talk Gotham because we don't have any other DC stuff yet for next week. So
okay.
But moving into movie news.
Yes.
We actually have some news about Justice League Part 2. Now, Justice League 1 isn't even out yet, but Justice League 2 is actually getting bumped backwards. It was supposed to be out June 14th, 2019.
Okay.
Yes,
I thought
to come
this
out.
Was one that got bumped back.
No. Justice League 2 has got bumped back, and it looks like... Now, the Hollywood Reporter was reporting that it got bumped back, and it's looking like the Batman is actually going to take the place of Justice League Part 2. And on June 14th, 2019.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
So
I don't at all. I'm okay with that.
Yeah? It looks part of it is just because Zack Snyder himself is taking a break from the DC movies to do one of his own movies called The Last Photograph, which is about a war journalist in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, right. I think that's great, though, because here's why. I think there's been a little bit of a disconnection between some viewers of the film with these movies, also because we don't know the backstory to a lot of these heroes.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. I mean, we know the backstory to Batman, so I guess we don't need another one for that, but it would be nice to get some interaction and get a feel more so for a solo Batman film. The only one that they actually did anything with before Justice League is going to be Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Because Wonder Woman got introduced like that. We didn't know her background or anything. Only Man of Steel, Superman. So Flash. We don't know what's going on with the Green Lantern Corps either. Cyborg's movie comes out after Justice League. So I'm glad we're going to get something in between there for Batman. He's one of the trendy members, so that's good.
Yeah.
We still don't know really what's going to happen in Justice League 2 yet, do we?
Nah, we don't even know what's... I mean, we have an idea, but we don't know exactly what's happening in Justice League 1, so...
No. Like I said, I seen that leak script, and I really don't think they're going to go with all of that the more I think about it, but we got the general idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's the main
part of the story is the fact that it's getting bumped back, and it looks like the Ben Affleck Batman movie is going to take its place.
Yeah, and I also see not just Geoff Johns is looking at this film, also John Berg, they're saying, is going to be in on it, too. Because I haven't heard his name being brought up in articles as much as Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading this, and I'm see his name popping up, too, so that's
great.
Well,
this could also give them a chance that if for some reason Justice League does not do well, they may move a different direction than Zack Snyder.
That's what I was thinking, too. And
gives them a chance to think about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea either. like I said, I don't hate Zack Snyder as a director, but for Justice League, I didn't like his take on what he did with Batman vs. Superman. I didn't. It was too dark. We'll see what happens. I think he can pull out a good one, and I think Justice League is going to be pretty cool. But if it seems like it might be a little too dark, and also they might be doing this, Jeff Johns, John Berg, and everybody over DC might be overseeing this. Like, we're going to have to tweak so much, we might not want to keep him on.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens when Justice League comes out.
Yep, I can't wait. That and Wonder Woman.
Exactly. So the next one up is actually, where is it?
I said this one. I think you found this one out. Yes. It was more into this one.
And I just read through the whole thing earlier, so I'm going to pull some of the highlights. James Tynion IV actually sat down with Newsarama to talk about what's going on in Detective Comics and some changes they're making and some of what they're looking forward to in the future. Now, he's writing Detective. Everybody knows so far we've talked about it that Detective is a team story right now, and it's planning on staying that way, but the team's a little going to be a lot more fluid than it has been in the past. Like, we've already seen that with Tim Drake's apparent death in Universe, and now they've added Batwing into the mix. We know that coming up in the future, Batwoman is going to be stepping away, and it looks like because of the solicits for the February stuff is out, Azrael's going to step into the team. So it looks like
finally.
I'm loving that. I'm ecstatic. I've always loved Azrael as a character.
By the way, have you a little off topic here, but did you play Arkham City yet?
Not yet. I've not got a chance to sit down and even pop it in.
I'm almost done with it, and I got to a point with Azrael, and all I could think about was like, man, Ken would love this part.
Oh, I probably will when I do sit down. But it says that Batwoman's getting her own title, and Azrael is joining the team. We are definitely getting more Tim Drake, because he will be coming back. Because as of right now, what happened was Mr. Oz pulled him out of the universe. Which we're not sure. Mr. Oz has always been. I looked up his Comic Vines info on him. There's not a lot of info on this guy other than he's a big
overseer.
Question mark. No one knows who he is.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They introduced him, I think, in the New 52 as well.
He knows.
But he had
all
a
the
very
secrets.
Small part. It's like he's like their watcher almost.
Yeah. So no one knows what he's up to or why.
I was speaking to Spike when we went to Colin the Cobb, and he was talking about how he thinks that might be Ozymandias from the Watchmen.
Okay.
He didn't give too much on there because we don't know too much about the character, but from what they're doing with the rebirth, we got a chance to see that it wasn't just Barry's fault for what happened with Flashpoint and why we got the New 52. Dr. Manhattan seemed like he had a big role in that. So what's to say Ozymandias hasn't been in the main DCU for a couple of years, but we haven't known yet because he's laid so low. And he is the master planner from what we've seen in the Watchmen comic book. So,
well, we're also
that's a possibility.
You've also got over in Titans, Abracadabra has said, according to him, the reason that Wally was stuck and never came back after Flashpoint was because of him, was because of Abracadabra.
Right.
So we don't know if that's just him talking about it or how that's working, but
this is my thing. I never saw Abracadabra as that big of a character to do something like that. But I have seen other comic books when they made these minor villains do big roles, and then that's all we ever really remember them for.
Exactly.
So it could happen, but it might not be him. It might be him. He might be a puppet for somebody, for all we know.
Well, yeah.
I think it is him, but if they did do a little bit of a change, I wouldn't be surprised.
Exactly. But we know in Detective right now, they're going through the Victim Syndicate story arc, which is a group of villains who blame their circumstances on the fact that they were victims of Batman's battle with other villains. All the things that happened to them was collateral damage in Batman's fight against evil.
And that's going to be popping up in this story, or this comic book this week.
Exactly. And that story actually ends here in December. It's followed up in January on a two-story story arc that's all about Batwoman called Batwoman Begins, which is what they're going to use to spin off her solo title. And that's actually being co-written with James Tynion and Marguerite Bennett. And then Azrael's going to join the team for a new story arc in February called The League of Shadows. Now, most people may recognize that's actually a little different than the comic books, because the League of Assassins has always been in the comic books.
Right.
But later on in the interview, you find out that the League of Shadows is also... It is a nod to the Nolan TV universe, because that's what the League of Assassins was called in the TV universe, was League of Shadows, remember? From Batman Begins.
Yeah, right.
So it is a part of the League of Assassins underneath Ra's al Ghul, and this one's going to be a very much a Cassandra Cain story. So it's going to be orphan, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to be an orphan story.
Couple issues ago, yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be all about her.
Issues ago,
but it is about the League, and it is about Ra's al Ghul also. So he's coming back for that, and they said there's some other characters being brought in that you're not going to see coming. So there's a lot of talk in this about Tim Drake and how they took Tim Drake out of the universe on purpose, because Tim has always been like a voice of reason. He's the guy that can always say the right thing to motivate you in the right way. Right. So when they moved in to finish up the colony story, they wanted to be able they wanted to pull that voice of reason out of the team for a while, and actually let the team go without the voice of reason and see so that people could see what would happen.
And what you did.
And exactly. And then through the Night of the Monster Men and into the story they have now, which is a very much a Stephanie Brown story.
Yeah. And they seem to have been doing pretty well without him because they still remember what he stood for.
Yeah.
We got a glimpse of that also with Nightwing when he fought Dr. Destiny with Superman. Tim Drake was one of the few people from his life that he remembered helping him out through all these tough times.
Exactly. That's why Tim and everybody, even James Tynion, was saying that how Tim Drake has always been most people's favorite character. They love Tim Drake. That's one of the characters he remembers when he was... Now, it makes me feel old because he's saying when he was a kid reading comics in the 90s, he loved... Tim Drake was one of his favorite characters. Right. And that's one of the favorite characters I had when I was reading. It was... Right. When I was reading, I had Wally West, Tim Drake, and Kyle Rayner were my three big ones back then. And then Nightwing was in there too, but that's always cool because Nightwing and Tim Drake and Dick Grayson always had a great relationship, and
since the beginning it was like
they worked very well together
type relationship. Like to me, Tim Drake's my best and favorite Robin. Now he's not my favorite Robin from them aging, becoming a new hero. That goes to Dick Grayson, but as far as just being the Robin with Batman, it's got to be Tim Drake. He was the only one that actually wanted to still stay Robin after he, after everybody else wanted to go off and be Nightwing, Red Hood.
They've also said, remember that he was the first and only Robin that chose to be Robin. The rest of them kind of, they found out who Batman was and they found, it's like, oh, this looks cool, let's do it.
I'm gonna be your sidekick.
No, he actively tried to find out who Batman was so that he could become Robin. Because he realized, remember, when in that storyline, he realized Batman did not have a Robin, and Batman was getting very violent in things, and he realized in his head that Batman needed someone to temper him.
Right.
Having a Robin did that.
And just Tim Drake being Tim Drake, he can do that for everybody on the Titans team, and the Bat family, Batman himself.
Exactly.
Tim Drake is the voice of reason, like you said earlier.
Yeah. He's always had that uncanny ability to do stuff like that. So, looks like the team as of right now in February, I'm not sure when they're bringing Tim back in, but the it looks like it's going to be Azrael probably leading up the team with Batwing. We'll still have Spoiler, Orphan, and Clayface, and then Tim's going to come in at some point.
And that's where we still have Clayface.
Yeah. I'm liking him in Detective right now.
Oh, I like him. He's doing great. And like I said, this has happened with other villains becoming these sidekicks to these heroes or becoming anti-heroes. Because I was loving Cheetah in the Wonder Woman run. And they carried that on even after she wasn't Cheetah no more, when she went back to her human form. And now we're getting this still with Lex Luthor in Action Comics. I'm loving Lex Luthor as Superman. When the New 52 happened, I didn't read too much, so I was like, eh. But reading the Rebirth, Lex is great.
Yeah. It's interesting because you still can't tell. We're over 6 months into this, and you can't tell is Lex actually a good guy or is he just faking it?
Yeah, I know, right? I want to believe in this. I don't want him to be faking it. If he does go back to being a villain, make it where he wasn't faking out this whole time. Make it where something happened to make him go evil again. Because he's doing great as a Superman, or at least a human trying to be Superman.
Yeah. So, but that's most of our news for this week, isn't it?
Yep.
I think we should get into some reviews.
I think we should. Let's see. Where are we going to start?
And actually, this is not... our notes are a little wrong. Hang on half a minute. Let me bring up my calendar, because this is actually... This is Comics 4. Yeah, it's not for the 7th.
I almost had them all in order with the way it's on the pull list.
Nice.
That's funny.
These came out, I believe, on the 30th, the 23rd of November and the 30th of November. Yes. November 23rd and November 30th. We have actually 2 weeks worth of reviews for this one, but the 30th only had a couple of books. So.
Yeah, the 30th only had the annuals, and I think they had the where all the artists came in for the one book were the ones that really stuck out that week.
And that was awesome.
And I think we might get the same feel from, what is it, the holiday special?
Oh, the holiday special is going to be fantastic. But, no, the new artist showcase, we're not reviewing it here right now, but if you get a chance to go out and check it out, I have it sitting right here beside me. And there was some fantastic stories, and I'm not even sure if some of these seem like they're not actually one-shots. They set up stuff that would be continued on later.
It blends in, right.
I'm wondering, and they brought back some characters that have been gone for a while. Like, you have Wonder Girl, but it's Cassie as Wonder Girl. And I believe in that same story, she talks to Flash and calls him Wally. So that it looks like something in the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely sounds like something pre-New 52.
Mm-hmm. There's also an adventure with Kyle Rayner, the White Lantern, and Carol Ferris as
Star Sapphire.
I did not know that at any point they'd actually been together as a couple.
Yeah, that was the same thing I was saying at work. When we were at work, I was saying the same thing to do with Red Hood and Talia. They had a little fling going on, which was really weird. Like I said, it's like, wait a minute, weren't you the first hero's girlfriend?
So if you get a chance to pick this up, it's a good title. And it actually has a lot of good stories in it. Another one that was also good that came out was, it's a freebie. It was the Direct Current number 1. Did you actually pick that up and flip through it?
No, I didn't. I'll
have to bring it in. It actually, the comedy, some of the stuff in this reminds me of the old Wizard magazine.
Mm.
Has the feel of the old Wizard magazine some.
Hmm. And that, I think that's why when I read my Archie comics, I feel this that old comic book strip feel to it as well.
Yeah. I'll bring this in so you can check it out.
Sweet.
So I've not read it all the way through, but I've flipped through it some. But let's get into our actual comics for this, and we're actually going to start with Flash number 11. Do you want to start off on this one, or do you want me to start flipping it?
Sure, I'll start off. As we saw, Wally got into the Shadow World because of Shade, and he's been in there not as long as what we think, but he's been in there as long as we think, but to him it's been a little bit longer. So
yeah,
he's
time moves
off
a lot.
All the,
seems like it moves a lot slower in the Shadow World,
and especially with them being speedsters. Oh, I would hate that.
Oh yeah,
because he has to run fast. I think that's why it feels like he's going. He's been in there for so long because the speedsters, once they run so fast for so long, it seems like days have went by when it's only been maybe a few hours. And the darkness is colliding with him, but they'll get more to that later on. Well, Wally and Iris are talking, saying, "Hey, where's Wally? They're wondering where he's at. He wasn't at school." He's not in his room, and then they find out what might have happened. She says, "Oh, I grounded him," and Barry's saying, "Oh, well, I told him he couldn't be Kid Flash no more." She gets mad at Barry because she's thinking, look, I'm his family member. I'm the one that tells him what he can and cannot do. He looks up to you as a mentor. You can't be the parent as well. Now he's probably just went running because he didn't have no one to talk to.
And the interesting thing is seeing that, so you gotta remember, Iris does not know Barry's Flash.
Right.
So seeing this argument, because she talks to Barry to have Barry come and talk to Wally about this stuff, and then she talks to Flash later, and Flash tells her that I told him he can't be Kid Flash.
Right. She's like, wait a minute, you did what? So then Shade comes up out of the shadows, as he should, and it's not Flash that goes in charging at him. It's Iris. So now Iris gets stuck in the Shadow World, and Flash, of course, goes after her. So now he's stuck in there. And it's Kid Flash actually winds up saving Flash from the, what are these little things called? I keep wanting to call them shadow demons, but.
That's what I'm thinking, something like that. But you see that in the Shadow World, the Shade is there, and it's actually just the normal Shade. He's not this creepy, scary
monster
form.
Right. He's looking tall. He's a man with a top hat on, looking very classy. And
yes.
He's telling them about how he, in his past, he always had the dark side to him, but there's always, as this happens in every comic book, there's always somebody that he falls in love with. And that was the woman that showed him the light. But over time, even the darkness he couldn't control anymore. They knew she was the only thing keeping him from going over the edge and going full on dark side. So the, I'm going to call them shadow demons, started to mess with him and wind up taking her away from him so they can have full control over him and become the full entity and become this evil being. So he drew in Kid Flash by accident. He actually wanted just the Flash to come in. But now he's got both of them, so hey, the more the merrier.
Well, yeah, that's because he's actually trapped in the Shadow World, too. His shadows have trapped him in his own world. So he knows right. He needs the Flash, which everybody knows in DC Comics, the Flash is a symbol of hope for the whole universe. Well, he needs the Flash to shine light into the darkness, and hopefully they can get out of here.
Hey, can you pause this real quick? Getting an important phone call.
So did you answer all the questions from the Commissioner Gordon?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I told him this is more of a Batman issue, but, you know, if he ever needs help, I'm down to help.
Hey, he needs some advice once in a while. But
sometimes.
Back to Flash. It's interesting because basically the Shade tells him, we can't get out of the Shadowland until we defeat the person in charge of the Tower of Darkness.
And I still am trying to figure out exactly who all is in this Tower of Darkness.
And well, it shows at the very end.
Let me go, man. I forgot about that a little bit. Yeah, that's right.
The one in charge of the Tower of Darkness is
that's
the Shade's
ironic.
Girlfriend, Hope. And
Barry's
Iris West.
Girlfriend. Well, they're not dating yet, but you get the point. Yeah, so how are they going to take down their love interests without
hurting?
Yeah, that's
pretty interesting.
So
that was the Flash, number 11. What?
I can't wait till Flash 14.
Yeah, what do you mean, number 12?
Well, then it gave me a little advertisement as I was going by here, and I missed this before. I guess I was just trying to hurry up and read the story. But if you look, Flash 14 will bring back Captain Cold.
Ooh. Well, I did hear that the Rogues are going to be coming in the next couple of – coming up soon. We're going to get more of the traditional Rogues.
And that's what it looks like they're doing with that. It did say Rogue Tales. Rogues
Reloaded.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's starting a new story arc there. So we know we're at number 11. We got two more issues of this story arc.
Yeah, I'm very curious on how they're going to bring them out, but I really am in more anticipation now for issue 14.
Yeah. So that's going to be January, though. So the perfect time to bring in Captain Cold in the middle of January.
Exactly.
Well, the next one we got up was Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 9.
There's a lot of good stuff happening here, too.
Yes. And remember, the Corps right now is stuck on the planet Zudar, which is where... what's the name of the fin-headed Lantern?
I'm trying to find it.
Tomar 2.
Did they actually say
it's Tomar 2's home planet. But they're trapped by an energy field, and everybody on the planet is actually under control of Starro. So you've got the Green Lantern Corps and the Yellow Lantern Corps trapped together, trying to figure out how to get out of this place.
And I'm so glad not all of them think like Guy. I'm just going to say that first. Guy
yeah,
is like, hey.
Shoot first and ask questions later?
Yeah, and it's like, Guy, no, that doesn't work. We're trapped in a force field, so of course when you shoot that, it's going to bounce off that wall and hit something else.
Exactly. And as they do that, and they're yelling at Guy for shooting blasts all over the place, the entire population is being has Starros on their head coming and advancing like zombies. But then we flip over to Space Sector 2814 on the planet Nok. It says a cloaked world of imprisonment and exile, and we find two guardians that are still in this universe. And these are ones that, with knowing what comes at the end of this book, it makes a whole lot of sense when you're talking about these two guardians. We have one of them's Ganthet, isn't it? Isn't that Ganthet and Sayid?
Not 100% for sure.
I think that's who it is.
I think that is too, but I'm saying they don't say his name, so
no.
I can't say yes or no, but it looks like him.
But if you remember back
but then again,
in the...
they all blue of them look alike.
Yeah. Well, all back in the day, when Kyle Rayner first got the ring, it was Ganthet that gave him the ring.
Right.
And Sayid
that probably is him. If he is, then that's him.
And they also, two of those together, remember, the two of those were banished during Brightest Day, or Darkest Night.
Darkest Night.
Because they had actually helped to create the Spectrum, if I remember right. I gotta go back and reread it.
Yeah, I do too. I think you're right. That was a good story. That was one of the best Green Lantern stories ever.
They have found this new ring that was not created by a Guardian, and it is searching for Hal Jordan. It's not searching for a new owner. So you see the
because he made this himself.
Yes, he created this out of his
own
will.
He forged this out of his own willpower.
He's the first and only Green Lantern to have forged his own ring.
Which is perfect. And he keeps seeing this guy, and it's someone from his past. You want
exactly.
to tell him who it is?
We go to, well, we flip to this world of basically green light and stuff. Hal doesn't know where he's at, And he relives a couple things, and this shadowy guy walks up to him, and it tells him he's in the Emerald Space. It's a place where Green Lanterns go, where lanterns go when they're done on the normal plane of existence. And then the guy walks out of the shadows, and it's Abin Sur. This is basically heaven for Green Lanterns.
Yeah, just,
or the afterlife of some sort. So Abin Sur is here. Then we flip back to Zudar, and the Lanterns are trying to fight off these Starros as they're trying to attack, and trying everything they can to get the Starros off the people, because Starros spawning more and more and trying to control the Lanterns, and the both yellow and green.
Yeah, it looks like these things are multiplying the way they're coming at them.
Exactly. Now, then they have one Lantern named Lot Rop Fan, which looks like a giant cobra head on him or something. He's a type of alien.
With bug eyes. I mean, this.
Yeah. Well, you find out that he actually can control sound waves naturally. It's not with a Lantern. It's actually a natural ability of his.
Mm-hmm. And I just noticed this, actually. He has a bell on his Green Lantern emblem.
Exactly. Yes.
I didn't pay attention that first time reading it.
He can hear the sonics, and he hears there's a wave or there's something controlling these guys. So they figure out, hey, maybe if you broadcast a certain tone, you can actually disrupt the Starros. So he broadcasts that. He finds it, broadcasts it out, and all the Starros basically die off and start falling off. And then all the yellow and green lanterns start destroying the Starros. From there, John and what's Sinestro's daughter's name? Well, the two of them go up to the top.
Yeah, I can't see it.
John makes a
telescope
to look through. The two of them are trying to figure out what is going wrong on the other side of this. And they look, and when he looks through, he sees a bunch of other jars with stuff in it. And he finds out, and he figures out, wait, Brainiac has us caught in a miniature bottle.
But here's the bad thing about Brainiac. He done messed up. Like John said, he done picked the wrong fight with the wrong Marine. So, I think John might be the one to get them out of there because he said that. And John's one of the strongest Green Lanterns. So,
yeah, he's not going to be happy when he gets out of this bottle.
No. But this is Brainiac. This is a Superman villain.
Yes. A Superman power level villain.
Yeah.
So, we flip back to Abin Sur and...
Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan talking, and Abin tells him straight up, you're not supposed to be here. This is not, you don't belong here. You've not finished what you're supposed to be doing. You get back to, there, it says Ganthet. It says, Ganthet and Sayid are figuring out the life force that the ring is looking for is starting to wane and starting to fall apart. And so, it's saying how, there's some tremors, messing with the green light of will. It's actually starting to make problems everywhere. So that's what, or, and the actual quote is, it is why I called you to this far-flung world, Torchbearer. You flip the thing, and Kyle Rayner is sitting there, and he says Hal Jordan needs the White Lantern, the Torchbearer of the emotional spectrum.
Life.
So, and that's the last page you see is Kyle. So I'm hoping we get lots of Kyle in the next issue.
Yeah.
And I know this next one is one that you look forward to every month, even though we're just on the second one.
Oh, yeah. This is Teen Titans issue number 2, and this was packed with some good stuff. And I love what they did with Damian in here. I'm liking Damian better in Rebirth than I did in any other incarnation of him.
He's learning.
He is, and he's 13 now. Yes. But pre-52, Damian was a little jerk. Never listened.
He still is, but...
He is. Not as much. As if you read any of the Teen Titan books with him in it, he's perfect in here. I got annoyed with him in the other books. It's like, wait a minute, Damian. I wish I could just shake you up. But
yeah, but remember him in what he's been like in the Superman titles with Batman and Superboy.
He's still not as much of a little jerk as he was in the other ones. He's getting a lot better. He is still a jerk, but he's getting better. And I think the older he gets, he'll probably become more like Batman. It'll be like, I'm just the broody guy that no one wants to talk to because if you talk to me, I'll probably hurt your feelings.
Exactly.
This book starts out, he's on the rooftops, just like a Robin should be, but in my case, this reminds me more of Batman. And there's a woman waiting for him on the rooftop, and it's his mother, Talia. And I would not want to really have a birthday with none of the Al Ghuls, because this isn't really being a celebration. This is more so you need to kill people. She tries to tell him happy birthday, and then he just says Talia. He doesn't even call her mother anymore. She's trying to tell him you should come back. Your grandfather wants you to come back. If not, there's going to be a great, great consequence for this. And he doesn't really care because he's got a plan, too. And she leaves the building, and she leaves some type of stone there for him. And now we go back to the Batcave, where they were originally, and the rest of the team is still pissed at Damian for kidnapping them against their will just so he can have a team of Teen Titans.
Well, I understand that.
Now he's letting them know what's coming for them. It's like a seems like it's a evil version of Teen Titans, trained by the League of Assassins. It's this guy for Beast Boy. He's a shapeshifter. It's a guy also for Starfire. He's like made out of stone, and he's the strongest one on their team. Guy for Kid Flash reminds me of Weather Wizard. This guy can make storms appear. She's like a magic, mystical being like Raven. And then it's the trained martial artist for Robin, and it's all their counterparts. They don't take him seriously, but he's trying to tell them, guys, they're coming for us, if you like it or not. They've trained, and they're not playing just to beat you up. They want to kill you. And next thing you know, they do. They pop up out of nowhere, and they're ready to fight. So we have this little war going on between both sides. And it seems like they have done their research on the Teen Titans. They got their number. So they're kind of backed into a corner, but there's always, there's always Goliath that's always there to help Robin. So Robin flies off of Goliath and leaves the rest of the Teen Titans. They're like, wow, thanks a lot, Robin. I thought you were the team leader, but he of course had a plan. He comes back, he gets a jet plane. Is this a Robin jet? What is this? This is a bat jet. Looks like a bat jet from the Batcave.
It looks like his version of a one of the mini bat jets or something.
Right, because it's not a Robin themed or anything. It still looks like a bat vehicle, but it's just smaller. He tells them to come on with him, and they're like, I don't feel safe around you, so should we get on? And he says, fine, no more secrets. And he tells them he's going to not follow in his grandfather's footsteps. He's going to follow in his father's footsteps. He wants to be a good guy. And this is what made me really happy, because I've been trying to figure this out ever since Damian was created. What side is he going to go on? Is he going to be is he going to be the demon's head, or is he going to be the Dark Knight? He decided to go with his father's choice, and he said, and I choose the Batman. So as they fly off from the Batcave, it's exploded. Batman's going to hate this. He's going to have a lot of cleaning up to do. and now we have to wait till the next issue of Fear, Wrath of Ra's al Ghul.
So it was good stuff. It's interesting seeing Damian grow.
Yeah, and I'm liking his growth. As I said, for years, I never knew what side he was going to play, or would he have just been more of like an anti-hero. I'm going to be something like Batman, but I'm going to kill. Which he still may do, we don't know yet, but he's not as... I don't see the evil in him no more. I see him going to the light side and becoming like his father.
Yeah.
And he also seems like he does have his mother's support. She never really hated that he wants to be like her father, but she just thinks that it would be better if she joins, you know, her family, because that is her blood.
Exactly.
And next year we have the Titans. And
yes, we move from Teen Titans to Titans.
And Wally's on the front cover, so I think you'll like this one a lot.
Oh, yeah, this was awesome. I'm liking Wally's new suit.
I am too, Flash. It's weird to have two Flash. I wish they would have gave it another name, but technically, he was Flash when Barry died, and he had to take up the mantle, so it makes sense.
Exactly. And you gotta think, even when Barry came back, there was two Flashes for a long time.
True.
Both Flash. Just like the Green Lantern Corps, they're all Green Lantern.
All Green Lantern, yeah. There's nothing wrong with this.
But this one, we're still dealing with Abracadabra. This is still the return of Wally West, Run for Their Lives, Part 5. And Abracadabra has actually captured the rest of the Titans in four different cities around the country. And he's going to have all of them killed at the exact same time.
Right.
Because his whole scheme is to get Wally. He realizes if Wally runs fast enough, he'll run into the Speed Force. It's happened before multiple times. He wants to get rid of Wally West permanently. Well, this is how to do it. So he's got... do you remember? He's got the mimics of the Titans fighting the Titans. So you got Robin holding Arsenal in Keystone City. Arsenal. You have Coast City with
Lilith.
Nightwing and Donna Troy being held by Lilith. And is that him dressed as Tempest, or is that Aqualad?
That's what kept throwing me off, because that was his Tempest outfit in the pre-52, but this is now his Aqualad uniform. So this is Aqualad and Lilith.
Then you get over to Metropolis, and you have the actual Tempest and Lilith being held by the mimics of Donna Troy and Arsenal. And then you get Linda Park in Gotham that's hanging from a rope over a fire pit or lava or something, boiling oil, with the rope on fire.
Something hot.
And Wally has to figure out how to save all of them at the same time within, like, seconds of each other. So he realizes, you know what? No one dies today. Somehow, I will do this. And he takes out Robin first thing because he's in the same room. And then out of nowhere, by the time Arsenal realizes what's happened, he's already moved on and is halfway to Keystone City. And as he's going to Keystone City, he has the fake Robin and just kind of lets him hit the sign as he goes by.
That would hurt.
The sign, yeah.
I'm like, that guy probably would have killed him.
Well, you got to remember, these are magical constructs. They're not actual people.
Good point.
So the next one, he hits Keystone and saves Nightwing and Donna Troy. Seconds later, he's already in Metropolis. Which one did he hit last?
He hit
Metropolis
Linda.
Last. So he saves all of them, saves Linda, who's still trying to figure out who this guy is because she doesn't even remember him.
No, sadly. But he knows that he loves her, and he'll do anything to save her life, no matter if she remembers him or not. Exactly. He knows what she means to him.
And then after he saves them all, he's coming back for Abracadabra. And he's doing 900 miles an hour. And Abracadabra has magical cameras on him this entire time. So the entire world can see his final trick of how he killed the kid, killed the Flash. So he's racing. Everybody's watching this. He's racing faster and faster and faster. He gets to
And the lightning
Coast
gets
City.
More powerful behind him, too.
Exactly.
As the story goes on.
The Speed Force is taking him more and more.
Mm-hmm.
He saves Nightwing and Donna Troy. Then he finally gets to, he's racing faster and faster, losing more. You see, he's kind of becoming and phasing into energy as he's going.
Mm-hmm.
He finally gets to, next up he gets to, where was Tempest? Were they Metropolis?
Yeah, they are Metropolis.
Gets to Metropolis, saves Tempest and Lilith, and then...
After that, he already passed Coast City. He was already in Keystone. Metropolis was the last hit before he got to Gotham, where Linda was.
And Linda is falling into the oil as he hits. He catches her.
He runs on the lava.
Above the oil.
Yeah, he runs on that stuff, catches her, drops her down.
And then she looks at him and says, "Wait, Wally?" Almost like she's starting to remember.
Mm-hmm.
As he is fading out of existence.
She's saying, "What did you do? Why did you do this?" But of course, he loves her. That's why. There's no other answer for it.
And he asks her to take his hand, and as she does, he disappears.
Yep. And Abra looked like he finally got what he's wanted this whole time. But he has to remember. Here's my thing. If Linda is beginning to have memories of Wally, that's what pulled him out the first time. So I think it's going to happen again. But that was in the Titans.
Exactly. Just as Iris West is Barry Allen's lightning rod that grounds him and keeps him in our world when he's moving at these super fast speeds, Linda Park is Wally's.
Right. And she think Abracadabra...
Huh?
I think Abracadabra messed up by having all this happen to him and her. All it's doing is making her remember Wally.
Exactly.
So I think this is going to be his downfall by trying to use her to make him go back into Speed Force. He also got them connected again. Where he's going to come out of the Speed Force.
Exactly. So that was Titans. And next one is one that I know you were probably flipping out about once you actually did read this thing.
Yeah, I was liking the lineup we had here because I was like, yes, I get to do this story.
Exactly. You get to. We're moving on to November 30th and Superman Annual number one.
This one is, as Ken said, Superman Annual number one. But the good thing about the one thing that stood out to me about this Superman Annual, it wasn't just Superman's story. This was also 50-50, a Swamp Thing story. So as Clark Kent's looking around where is he at? I forget what
he's
city
at his
is
farm it. In Hamilton, Hamilton County.
He's looking
at the
all
Kent
his
farm.
Green, right. And on the farm, he sees all this, and he's still Clark Kent right now. He sees all this green moss laying around. He picks it up. He says, "I need to look into this." So
the crops are dying. Everything's drying up.
Okay, that's what tipped him off. I see.
Yeah, it's all brown.
Well, he's flying around, and he's like, "I gotta find what's causing all this." And as he's doing so, Swamp Thing's head just pops up out the ground, saying, "You do not belong here anymore." Just like a threat. This is just great art right here. If you guys don't have this book, you need to get this book. Just look at the pictures. It's great. He flies down and he started having a conversation with Swamp Thing, and Swamp Thing's basically telling him, "You're not supposed to be here. From where you're from,
is having a disruptance in the universe and is killing all of these plants and all the green life. And that's where I'm coming in to step in, because this is causing my powers to have a disruptance. So as he's talking to him, he says, you need to be a little bit more specific. Superman tells him he's trying to understand exactly what's going on, but he says, maybe I can help. And while he's saying that, he puts his hand on Swamp Thing. And as he does this, it basically somehow corrupts Swamp Thing with Krypton. And now he is speaking in a Krypton language. And it's so old, even Superman's having a hard time understanding him. So he's trying to tell him, I can help you. But this is what caused all this to happen. So what Superman does is he said, you know what? You're connected to the Earth. How about I just dig a hole and tunnel you through the Earth where you can grab the vines and the roots of what's underneath the soil? Which he does. And now he's back to being normal. He rooted him. But as Swamp Thing's telling him, see what just happened here? You're causing a problem. The only way I can show you is to get you in my grasp. And he does, basically what he's doing is trying to tangle Superman in his vines. And Superman sees this as a threat. So now they're going at it, and Swamp Thing's trying to tell him, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you, but you're being, you're fighting me back and I can't do anything. So he's going to have to somehow, get Superman to the point where he can just talk to him instead of fighting him. But you gotta remember, Swamp Thing's everywhere. As long as he's on Earth, he can make multiple versions of himself, which he does. He tells him, I'm trying to talk to you as a friend, not an enemy, but you're making me use all my power. So he becomes this big construct of a Swamp Thing, and all these other Swamp Things come at Superman and hold him in, and he becomes a fist and drags him down into the Earth. Now he can finally see what Superman was talking about. It's not so much him being here that's the problem. It's the point of – it's the problem is he remembers his other world so much, and he's so connected with the other world he came from. He can't be a Superman in our Earth if he's still holding on to the past that much. And he tells him, you don't have to forget your past, but you have to embrace your future. And Superman now is beginning to understand what he's talking about. And as Superman's cape – like I said, the art for this guy is just amazing. You get these visions of Superman's past on his world. And honestly, this the world he sees, it looks a lot like the world we were used to. But as he's going on, now he's seeing the new Justice League. He's his son on this world, Lois on this world. And his cape begins to take him over like a someone put a blanket over a dead body. But as he emerges from his red cape, he becomes like the Swamp Thing slash Superman. It's like they fuse together. He even has the S curl,
yes,
bind on Swamp Thing, and it's like Swamp Thing's S is on for Superman. And he says he understands what he has to do now. He's going to embrace the future, still remember the good things about the past, but he cannot act like he's still a part of that world when he's a part of this world. So the things that made him what he is, Superman, do not forget that, but take that with you and stride with it to become a better hero for this world. So he rips off the Swamp Thing attire, I guess you can call it, of vines, and he becomes Superman again. And now they're both talking, saying, thank you for helping me. The Earth is restored to the way it was. We have plants. We've got water. It's not dry anymore. And he also says thank Swamp Thing for letting him grow and showing him what he needs to do to keep an equal balance in this universe, because he is Superman. But he doesn't leave without Swamp Thing giving him a little piece of him. He breaks off a little twig. And now Superman is back home with Lois and Jonathan. And the soil is a little pot of soil with Swamp Thing's plant in there. And it's funny because they're talking about how Jonathan, Lois asks him, did you cut the grass? And he says, no, I kind of forgot. And then Superman says, that's fine. It's nothing wrong with having a little green on the grass. Let it grow a little bit. So that was Superman Annual. I love that. Seeing Swamp Thing in here with Superman, they had their little fight, but they also had the same goal. They just needed to listen to each other, which they did. And I love they had a little fusion there. And it ended on a great note. But we also will get, what is this next issue that I saw? It looks pretty good. Super Monster. And that leads into the one with him and Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. So that's actually coming up. Actually, I think I
have. It's already out.
Yeah. I have that one here. I've not read it yet.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't want to
read it. Let me make sure. Yeah, it's right there.
Yep. So I'm looking at mine too with the Suicide Squad.
I have my stack of comics from this past week that I've not even got a chance to open yet. I took them to Humboldt with me, but I never got a chance to actually open them up.
Don't worry, we'll read them this week.
Well, the next one that we have, the last book for this week, is actually Batman Annual number 1. And this is kind of a preview of the holiday special coming up.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking too. There's so many names in this one book. It was insane. Yeah.
Well, the reason is that this is actually a series of multiple short stories.
Right. I showed this to one of the girls down at Star State. She does cosplay too. She was just like, holy crap, how many names are in here? I told her it's like different stories, but we never seen this many names on one book before.
I love the first story. Because if you're a Batman Beyond fan, this is awesome.
To me, it's not even so much a Batman Beyond fan. It's a Batman lore in general, because they even had this on. Do you remember that kids cartoon they had? Adults could watch it, but it was directed.
Yeah, Crypto the Superdog?
Yeah. And then I saw Ace in there, and I was like, wait a minute, Ace the Bat Hound? Weren't you on Batman Beyond? So this shows how they got Ace.
Yes, the first story is the origin of Ace. And you see, it goes through a calendar storyline. On September 2nd, Batman's being attacked by this dog with the Ace of Spades hood on his head. And it's a dogfighting thing that Joker had, where each of the dogs was a different card of the deck. And the Ace was the last one alive.
Ace is high.
On December 25th, Alfred goes to the dog pound and is attempting to adopt a dog, which the guy in the pound said, this dog you cannot adopt. No one's allowed to adopt this dog. At which point, he basically writes a check to buy the dog pound, and he said, okay, the only things I need for this is rename the pound to the Martha and Thomas Wayne Humane Society, and the other one is I take the dog home.
Isn't it nice to have money like that?
Yeah. Then you move on to the 26th of September, and you find this dog standing on the table growling at Bruce.
Bruce. Yeah, while he's getting ready to eat breakfast, he's like, wait a minute, what the heck is this dog doing here?
Exactly. Then as we move through time, in October and November and December, Alfred is in the cave trying to train the dog while Bruce is doing all of his stuff.
And being dealing with Two-Face, dealing with Carmine Falcone, dealing with Kite Man. I was like, Kite Man, why the heck is he still here? But anyways.
And then in December, finally, Bruce tells him, Alfred, this has gone long enough. The dog is broken. Yeah. The Joker broke him. You'll never, it'll never come back. And then
but he has hope.
And this one's cool because each of these stories had a different, throughout time, the Batcave had different entrances. This one is another one that we've not seen for a while. It was using the certain keys on the piano to open up the an elevator down to the Batcave.
For some reason, I feel they did that. Like I said, DC runs things perfectly. Whatever you see somewhere else in the media, like a video game, a TV show, comic books, whatever, it's going to be somewhere else connected. You just got to find it. They made the new VR Arkham Knight? I can't remember. I think it was a prequel to Arkham Knight, and it was the VR game they just put out for the PlayStation. And there, you have to get to the Batcave, you have to play the piano, and it'll access the opening, and you'll slide down and go into the Batcave. And it was funny because the same thing just happened in this book. And the game came out about a month ago. So exactly. I was like, okay, I see what DC's doing there. I love that.
Well, this is December 14th, and as Bruce says, some wounds just won't heal. The Joker broke him. And then as the door closes, you see Alfred say, Ace, sit. And the dog just sits down, huh?
Yeah. He's not broken. It just took some time.
A couple days later, on the 19th, you get Batman getting out of the Batmobile and has a knife sticking out of his shoulder. He pulls it out, and as he does, Ace actually walks up to check on him. You get to Christmas Day, and Ace is just chilling there with Batman. And he's got a hood on his head. And he asks him, hey, you want to be a Bat Hound?
A cowl.
Yeah, it was a cowl. A Batman cowl. And at that point, that's when he's teasing Alfred because Alfred didn't technically get him any Christmas gifts. And then doesn't realize that Ace was the Christmas gift.
Exactly. And that's how it ends.
Exactly. That's the end of the first story. The next story we get into is... there's snow falling in Gotham. It's close to Christmas, and Batman's doing what Batman does, stopping things. And there's these people in the one square in Gotham that, out of nowhere, they take these red jackets off and start climbing up on the statue and diving off of it. And in Gotham, that's never a good thing.
No.
So they're doing a backflip. They land, and they're in the middle of the crowd, and the people are watching, and they're doing this acrobat show. and all of this stuff. And Batman's wondering, and all the crime has stopped for some reason. And because he's built this system, it's like the Bat Signal 2.0, where it actually monitors all radio traffic in the city, FM, police band, emergency bands, all of that, for certain keywords and certain algorithms running around. They're looking, and all of a sudden, it's just gone quiet. They're trying to figure out, is it working right? What's going on? Why? Because Gotham is never totally quiet.
Never. It's Gotham.
So he's watching these acrobats, and he finds out they do see something. It says automatic gunfire. Something finally does go off, and he realizes the people that were doing the acrobat show were actually just doing it for the people on Christmas. The people offer money, and they say, no, I don't want it. So Batman's like, oh, wow, something actually good in Gotham.
You know what that reminded me of?
Huh?
You remember Christmas with the Joker episode in the Batman Animated Series?
Yes.
When they were going through the city and Batman's like, oh, there's gotta be trouble out there. There's gotta be trouble out there. And Robin's like, not always. It's Christmas Eve. You know, mm-hmm. People are in the Christmas spirit. Except for Joker. That was the ironic part. But everybody else in Gotham were quiet. Everything that Batman thought was a mugging wasn't a mugging. It was someone giving somebody a gift. Just like these acrobats. He thought something bad was gonna happen. Nope, they're just being good, kind souls to entertain the people of Gotham.
That's right. And that one was actually just called Silent Night. Each of these actually has their own title. That was Silent Night. Mm-hmm. What was the one with Ace? Hang on.
Let's see.
Good Boy. It was called Good Boy. Yeah. The next one is actually a fun one. The Not-So-Silent Night of the Harley Quinn.
This one was my second favorite one. I loved Aces, and then it was this, because it showed Harley Quinn has changed a lot since her first issue in the DC comic books, or her first appearance, period, on a TV show.
Exactly. You start off with Harley on top of the police station, breaking into the ventilation system. As she's prying it off,
are you gonna sing her song too?
I'm not singing.
I'll do it. I'm not gonna sing, but I'll tell you guys what the lyrics were.
Okay.
Up on the rooftop, breaking in, down through the vent, Harley Quinn, and it's her trying to. I don't know why it reminded me of the Christmas with the Joker. When he was singing his little song about Batman, probably had her own little jingle. It was kind of funny. I'll let you continue now. That was just one thing that stood out about Harley to me. I'm like, okay, Harley, this is why I like you as a combo character.
Well, with that, Batman swipes her and takes her away. And she says, oh, come on, Bats. I wasn't actually trying to do anything bad.
She wasn't trying this time.
She was trying to drop off cookies and stuff, but she can't just walk up to the front door. She's Harley.
Right.
She'd be arrested or something. So she's arguing with him the whole time and...
Or no, he's arguing with her, actually.
Yeah.
She's just trying to let him know, look, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf here and become a good person. And the funny thing is, it's like, well, what's this on you? Is that a pie? What is that? She's like, oh, just a pie in case I run into my ex for yeah. Joker. It literally has a Joker face.
No, it's not a pie. It's a holiday pudding.
Sorry, there you go. For her pudding. Or ex-Putin. So yeah. he grabs the dish and throws it out the window and turns out to be a bomb.
It was a bomb for the Joker.
Oh, just a pudding for my ex. Well, you know how that'll go.
But she says, well, other than the bomb, I really was trying to square up with help. The cops and with Gordon.
Right.
And then he said he's going to finish his patrol, then drop her off at the city limits so she can get out of here. And she tells him, wait a minute. It's like a zillion miles to Coney Island, and it's snowing. What am I supposed to do? He said. So he tells her straight up, well, it's either the city limits or Arkham. So
fine, Bats.
That's right. She's like, fine, I'll go to the city limits. And they're just going back and forth, talking about Christmas and looking out the window. She's singing the whole time. The Jingle Bells Batman smells, Toyland, these different things. And as they're going through, seeing the way the people are, and there's these two people these two kids that are going to drop off toys for Toys for Tots, and the neighborhood bullies start beating them up. Or no, do they just pick up toys? Hang on. Looks like they went to drop the toys off. But as they're getting beat up, there's one little baseball bat falls out, and the little girl goes off and starts beating everybody up, and it looks like she's wearing a jacket and stuff that looks kind of like Harley's.
Right. It looks identical like Harley. She was trying to be Harley. And she had the bat. She had the thing that popped up first to me wasn't the bat. It was they started picking with. I thought is this a girl? Or is this a boy? I think this is a young boy. Yeah, I think this is a young boy. And he picks up. And I might be wrong, but that's a boy. He has on a Harley Quinn hoodie, and the other kids start picking. It's like, why are you wearing a Harley Quinn hoodie? Well, this is where things get bad. Since you were picking on me on my friend, I have a bat in this box. I'm going to use it against you guys to drive you off. And this showed that Harley is now more so being looked at as an iconic hero instead of iconic villain.
Exactly. She's actually being a role model for people.
Right. If she was going to still be an evil villain, these bullies would be the one wearing the Harley Quinn jacket and beating up the good kids. But instead, the good kid is the one that's rebelling and wearing the hoodie and beating them up and don't mess with my friends anymore.
Then we get to the next scene. Some people are fighting and arguing, and this guy starts chasing his girlfriend or someone he's arguing with. And as he does that, there's a bunch of people dressed up as Harley Quinn.
I think you went by just a little bit.
What I dropped? What I missed?
There was a guy in a crowd, and his dog got away, and his dog goes into the street, and it's like, oh no, no one wants to hit a dog on Christmas Eve. So this lady sees the hot dog stand, and she's got a red jacket on, red heels, black skirt, and she's got the pigtails in, blonde pigtails, just like Harley Quinn. And she pushes the hot dog stand in front of the car so it doesn't hit the dog. And then that's when we get to the people having a little commotion, and then these Harley Quinn, these people dressed in Harley Quinn suits, pulling a balloon, a giant balloon of Harley Quinn into the city. And this is where we see everybody in the city that's been quiet, and this is why Batman cannot find, there's nothing bad going on in Gotham, because everybody's in one huddle celebrating Christmas and being good. It's because they are celebrating Christmas with Harley Quinn, even though she's not there.
Exactly.
So she is now the spirit of Christmas on this Christmas Eve. And she's trying to tell Batman, I think I might be responsible for the reason why there's not any harm going on in the city. But Batman's like, she's just crazy.
Yeah.
But, so he drops her. Oh, you can go finish.
Well, she's still singing in the car, singing "Deck the Halls, la, tis the season," and then Batman out of nowhere whispers under his breath, "To be jolly." So she's like, "Ha! I knew you were gonna sing with me." And as he's going, she's like, and she's talking about how it's the infectious good cheer, that the spirit of infectious good cheer that's making everything calm tonight. He says, "More than likely, it's just too cold for the crooks, and they're staying in." So he goes and drops her off at the city limits, and then takes off. She calls him the Bummobile and all this stuff, and it turns around, and here he did drop her off at Coney Island.
He did.
He took her all the way home and dropped her off.
See, he was being a good soul. No strings attached.
Now, I gotta remember what happened on this next one.
Before you go too far, I just want to say, come on, I'm trying to see this artwork. This is the same artist that was for Night of the Monster Men. I'm trying to figure out which one.
Which story?
Was
the Harley story?
No, the next one after the Harley story.
Okay. It's probably at the end of the story. Hang on. Yes, it is. It's the end of the story. It was, this is a new guy, Riley Rossimo.
Doesn't this look like the same art? Not for the Harley story, but for the next one. Wow, that's very similar. Thought it was the same art.
So, we gotta hurry up as we're going, because we're getting close to time here.
We are.
But,
good stuff we're talking about.
So, we got, this event happening that's being put on by this guy named Barry O'Neill, who's a billionaire who's basically pledged to donate his entire all of his wealth totally to charity before he dies. And he's a billionaire, so it takes a lot. So he's opened this Winter Wonderland park for everybody for the Christmas. It was being crashed by, what is this guy's name?
Ken, I had no idea. I was hoping you knew, because I'm like, this is a knockoff Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Blizzard. Well, as Mr. Blizzard is attacking everybody, Batman breaks in and basically takes him down, takes him out. And
I was going to say, Ken, you can't say break in. He's a hero. He crashes in.
Well, yeah. And then as they get back, this one was the weird one to me.
Yeah, I think they're trying to introduce
a new villain character here.
Yeah. Name Stage?
Stag.
Stag, I'm sorry.
So, this one, he stops Mr. Blizzard, and then takes off right away so that he doesn't, take away, and they stopped everything before anybody would have would ruin their night. So that people could continue to go, and Batman took off so that he wasn't the focus of all this. So he ends up back at the Batcave, or back at Wayne Manor. And, Duke comes up and, has some chocolates for him that are made out of, that made look like bat symbols. And then you get to O'Neill's house. He gets back, and all of a sudden, he's just got killed by this new character called Stag, and it says, the Stag is coming in 2017, so.
Now, we don't know exactly when that's happening. That could be the beginning of next year. It could be late next year. It could be December of next year, for all we know. Which would be pretty cool, because this looks like it's a Christmas-themed villain anyway.
Yeah. So, the next one is the last story in the book.
And, this one was odd.
Yeah. Well, the Good Behavior holiday party at Arkham. So, you see a lot of the villains that are in Arkham having a party. And one of them...
Never knew you could have a party at Arkham without breaking out.
Well, as that's happening, there's fear gas is moving its way through. There's a bunch of drones distributing a very dilute version of fear gas into the city. So, what is the name of the villain in this one?
I never heard of her, so her name never really stuck with me.
I'm trying to remember.
They said it.
It does say here somewhere, but she's figured out how to finally break out of Arkham. She's been there for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, she's been there for a while.
But part of this is that the nerve gas, or the fear gas, is giving everybody a low level of anxiety. So it's not actually driving everybody crazy, but it's giving Batman something to do. So as they're going, she's giving her medicines and stuff to the different people, basically saying goodbye to everybody. And eventually she, as the different guards are dropping, either dead or just knocked out, she's able to just walk out of Arkham. Then she's got her clothing and stuff is all buried outside of the Arkham, like it's someone set it there for her, ready to go. As she's going down the street, she finally gets to where she's going, and you find Scarecrow's there. And here she was Scarecrow's girlfriend or something.
Weird.
Yeah, but as she finds Scarecrow, Batman crashes in again, and she's like, wait, I did it. I finally killed the Batman, because this is all about insecurity. So, they killed the Batman. Here, Batman was faking it, and he captures both of them and takes them both back to Arkham.
But the way he said it, which was... This was the part that made me laugh a little bit. Now, Batman's feeling the holiday spirit. He lets them know, I outsmarted you guys. I can also be the one to take a DNA sample. And you know what? What I did to you guys was not to kill you, but it did paralyze you guys, and you're going to be like that for about 6 to 8 hours. So, before it settles in all the way, you can tell me, do you want to stay out here in the cold and freeze to death, or do you want to go back to Arkham? Oh, you can't talk yet? Oh, that's fine. I'll be happy to loosen your lips for you.
Yeah.
See, Batman was in the holiday spirit. Oh, man.
So that was actually all of our reviews for this week.
Yep, yep.
It was a lot of books over a lot of time.
Yeah, it was. We had some great stories, though. I think it's good they gave us less books, but gave us a great story, which they always do. But the Batman Annual was a lot of different books.
Yeah. And like I said, it was like a preview to the holiday special that we're going to talk about here in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have one more thing to do. And it is time once again for the comic shop, the pull list for December 14th, 2016. This is, as always, the comic shop pull list is brought to you by the song The Comic Shop by the Shazbots. Check them out on Facebook and iTunes and Facebook. Let them know the DC Superpower sent you. The first one we got up is actually, let me bring this up. Somehow it ended up on the number one on the list was Suicide Squad number 8. And this one is the first one is going to start to set up the... Justice League Suicide Squad. I believe this is a tie-in for that.
Oh, I want to do this one.
Go ahead.
Oh, because I was trying to remember you and you were trying to figure out why the heck is it that everybody's crazy but Harley. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, this is why. It's Suicide Squad number 8, and this is the Black Bolt part 8, and this is going to transcend, like Ken said, right into Suicide Squad number 1.
Or Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
There you go. Thank you. Harley Quinn goes sane. The prisoner and staff of Bell Rev Penitentiary have...
Succumbed
to the the disadvantaged effects of General Zod's disadvantage. Thank you, of Zod's Black Bolt, rendering them all insane. But it has the complete opposite effect on Harley. Now she must fight her way through the crazed Suicide Squad with the help of Enchantress to stop Zod from waking and conquering the world. No pressure though, right? And in all bonus backup story, we do get to learn how the supervillain conscripts into the Suicide Squad. The unlikely Killer Frost is about to find out when she arrives for her first day at Bell Rev. Her story then continues in the month's single issue Suicide Squad directly into Justice League versus Suicide Squad issue number 1. The art was done by Scott Williams and Jim Lee and written by Rob Williams. Awesome. Yeah, I like how they gave us a little insight that we will get to see Killer Frost, because we did see her on the poster for Justice League versus Suicide Squad. I was curious on how the heck she fit in there and where she came from.
Yeah.
But they'll explain that in the next couple of issues.
Well, the next up, we have Action Comics 969, The Men of Steel Part 3. Trapped on the Godslayer's homeworld, Superman and Lex Luthor must unite if they want to make it back to Earth. But does Lex Luthor deserve his freedom, or should the Man of Steel make sure he stays locked away? Art is done by Patrick Zercher and written by Dan Jurgens.
And next we have Birds of Prey, issue number 5. Who is Oracle? Part 5. The new Oracle has led the Birds of Prey all around Gotham City, forcing them to deal with the worst of what the city has to offer. Now Batgirl, Black Canary, and Huntress will learn the reason when this imposter's secrets are revealed. But Oracle isn't the only one with the secret to their past. Where did the mysterious fence come from anyway? Art done by Rob Antonio and written by Shauna Benson and Julie Benson.
Okay. Next up, we have Deathstroke number 8, The Professional Part 8. It's a Man of Steel versus the world's deadliest assassin and a no-holds-barred finale to The Professional. Art is done by Jason Paz and Carlo Paglian and written by Christopher Priest.
Next, we have Detective Comics 946.
They're getting up there.
Every time I read these numbers for Action and Detective, it's just like, wow, that's been going on that long. That's a great thing. The Victim Syndicate Part 4. The Victim Syndicate is taking their message to the streets to attempt to turn the citizens of Gotham against Batman and his allies. They can fight villains, but what happens when the whole city turns against them? Are done by Edward Faria and Eddie Bowers, and it's written by James T. Tynion the Tynion. Thank you, the fourth. Always want to say something different with his name.
Next up, we got The Flash number 12, The Speed of Darkness Part 3. Time is running out for Flash and Kid Flash as they race to help the Shade regain control of the Shadowlands, the dimension of pure darkness from which the Shade draws his terrible power, before it reaches our world and consumes the light forever. Art by David Gianfelice, and it's written by Joshua Williamson.
Next, we have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 10. Bottle Light Part 3. Trapped in the bottle by Larfreeze. I'll get to this. Okay. That's what I'm saying. They spoiled this for us. We weren't supposed to know this. I think they gave too much of a description for this. The combined Green Lantern and Sinestro Corps find themselves in a race against time to escape from their bottled world as Kyle Reiner searches for the way to reunite with the Green Lantern Corps. They spoiled this for us.
I thought that was it was supposed to be Brainiac.
But I'm beginning to think Brainiac somehow is working with Larfreeze, because Larfreeze, mine, he of course would be the perfect person to take over Brainiac's, I'm trying to think. What is it Brainiac does? He always is taking worlds. His
collection?
Yeah. Trying to think of everything he does. He might now be Larfreeze doing this because he wants every planet because he's greed. Art done by Ed Bennis and written by Robert Venditti. So, yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that they spoiled that for us. I was like, you guys just said once they try to get out of the trap bottle while Kyle Reiner tried to reunite with the Corps. That's all I needed to know.
Yeah.
But,
Well, next up we got the new Superman number 6, Made in China, The Conclusion. Colin Keenan is in the fight for his life against the insane human firecracker and his Starro Bomb. New Superman must confront his darkest demons as he tries to save the Batman and Wonder Woman of China. Alliances will be tested, heroes will be forged, and the shocking fate of Keenan's family is revealed. Art is done by Robert Friend and Victor Bogdanovic, and it's written by Jean Luen Yang.
Next on our list, we have Red Hood and Outlaws, issue number 5, Dark Trinity, part 5. Red Hood and Armis team up against a rampaging Bizarro and the race against the clock to save him and the city from Black Mass Mind Control, Techno-Organic Virus. That's a lot they gotta do.
Yeah.
Funny how these anti-heroes seem like they gotta do more than a hero right now.
Uh-huh.
Art done by Dexter Soy and written by Scott Lebdell.
Next up, we got Wonder Woman, number 4. Reign of the Cyborg Superman, Part 4. Supergirl struggles to escape the perverse reincarnation of Argo City as her father, the Cyborg Superman, attacks National City and her new home with the DEO. To face her ultimate test as a hero, Kara must let go of her past and embrace the future. Art done by Brian Ching and written by Steven Orlando.
Next, we've got Superwoman, issue number 5. Who is Superwoman, part 5? With her powers killing her every time she uses them, Superwoman must work with Steel to mount the last-ditch counteract against Ultrawoman. Lies siege to Metropolis as well. Will Lana Lang be the second Superwoman to die protecting the city of tomorrow? Find out and we will see. Art done by Matt Santarelli and Phil Jimenez. And written by Phil Jimenez. Jimenez. Thank you. There you go.
Okay. And we got two left. Oh, you get the good one. Wonder Woman part number 12, year 1, part 5. The threat is named, and now Wonder Woman and her new allies must rise to meet the upcoming darkness. Wow, interns were definitely not paid by the words on this one.
It's always short.
Yeah, well, art done by Nicholas Scott and written by Greg Rucka.
Next we have the DC Rebirth Holiday Special, issue number 1. There's a lot of writers on this one, too. I'm probably going to chop up their names. But let's get into what the synopsis is. DC's biggest and brightest heroes celebrate the holidays in a new special. Don't miss the
Hanukkah.
Kanchaka, Crisis of Huntress, A Flash Family Christmas, Wonder Woman interrupting John Constantine's hell-blazing propaganda party.
Pagan party.
Oh, that makes a little bit more sense now. Including the return of Detective Chimp. Wow. Today, top talents bring you a very special holiday gift that will keep giving through the new year. And writer Paul Dini crafts a Harley holiday tale featuring DCU greatest that bridges all of the stories in the wildest, wildest way. Oh, I'm glad to see him back on something.
Yeah.
Art done by Gustavo Garnett, Robbie Rodriguez, various other art. They don't say their name. But it is written by Colin Bunn, Via de Ilea, Steve Orlando, James T. Tyon IV, Paul Dini, various, once again, Kay Perkins, Heath Carson, James R. Osmus, and Tim Seeley. I like how they put various because I feel like they just didn't want to put their names or they didn't have enough time.
Yeah, or they had a whole bunch of people that, like, a whole writer's room sat together and wrote one.
Yeah, or maybe that's what happened. Okay, but
this was a 96 pages.
Yes, exactly what my eyes went to. I was like, holy crap. How much was the Batman annual? I'm curious on what was all on there.
The annuals were...
What was that?
Let
me pull them back up. So you get some first,
the annuals were $5.
No. How many pages?
The page count? I don't know.
Yeah, let me find that. I feel like this one might be more than...
Oh, I know this is more than the annuals were.
Oh, crap. We can't go back that far. Oh, well.
We might be. Hang on. Give me just a minute. We should be able to because it's only last week.
It was 2 weeks ago, actually. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just a second. There it is.
Oh, okay. Good.
Batman annual was 48 pages.
Oh, okay. Wow. 96.
So that's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So we actually ended up with
$9.
Yeah. So we ended up with a pretty good show here.
Yeah, we did. But yeah, guys, the DC annual holiday special is going to be $9.99. But with all this, as you can see, it's more stories than what we expected. So you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. You're going to get your money's worth.
Yes. So with that, I think it's about time to wrap this up. What do you think?
I can agree with that. We had a great show.
Oh, yeah. So why don't you let everybody know where they can get a hold of us at?
You can find us on Twitter at Superpowers DC, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at DC Superpowers Podcast. For my personal, you can find me on my Instagram, Howlin' at Wolf, my Twitter, VYellow, and for my Facebook, Vernon McElwain Moore.
And you can always find me on Facebook as Ken Rose, and on Instagram and Twitter as GW1Ken. We're also found on the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com. And the Weeby Geeks Network at WeebyGeeksPC.com. And with that, I believe that's all we got for today, isn't it, Vernon?
It is. I just want to say thank you. For our Instagram page, there's a lot of people commenting and liking our photos, so I want to thank you. I'm pretty sure of all of that, you guys had to listen to it. So I appreciate the listens. And if you guys ever want to leave more comments, just leave them on our other social media pages. Instagram's always good, too. But check out our other ones, Facebook and Twitter as well.
Exactly. I know you said you're going to be more active on the Facebook and Twitter also, aren't you?
And that's why I just sent out a retweet at their holiday special on our Twitter as well. So expect more coming on our social media, guys. I'll keep you updated on anything new.
Awesome. And one other thing, remember, the iTunes. We still need some reviews for iTunes to get them up there. The more reviews we get, the better our visibility on iTunes, the more we show up on their lists and things. So head over to iTunes, leave us a review, let us know what you thought of the show. And with that, Vernon, I think I'll see you next week.
I will, same here, from the Hall of Justice.